Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech on Black Hollywood Live. Today, Obama tried to warn Zuck. Amazon has a very quiet rollout, and Star Trek Discovery soars for CBS. Let's go.
You are tuned in to Black Hollywood Live's Geek Nerd Tech.
I've been chasing the check and I never get it. Been around and seen it, never had it. Mama, daddy, whole family, broke family. I'ma get it, told them I fucking handle it and murdered the gang.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech, the show where we break down tech news and nerd culture from a black and brown geek perspective. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined as always by Keely Shine. What's happening?
I'm in the building, baby.
How you doing?
I'm chilling, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm listening to this new J.I.D.
J.I.D.
J.I.D. new single. The album just dropped earlier this year, but this is a newer single. I don't know where it's from, called Hasta Luego, but it's kind of fire. It's from Atlanta. Like I said, the first time I heard it, I thought it was a girl. But yeah, and I also was watching Insecure, and he popped up on Insecure one episode, and I was like, oh, that's that girl. And it was, so sorry, JID, you're not a girl, but you are. You got some your voice is kind of high. Anyway,
that's what's up, man.
Welcome to Geek Nerd Tech. We're
here,
back.
Baby.
Lots to discuss today.
Let's get into it, baby.
We're going to talk about. It's just some pop culture stuff, some music stuff, and I do want to talk about my favorite person in the whole world. I sent you this story early.
Yeah, you did.
Your boy Zuck.
Zuck.
Boy Zuckerberg. Like, it turns out that President Obama tried to give Zuckerberg a wake up call after he, was so blatantly dismissive over the idea that Russians could be responsible, that Facebook could be help influential in the election, dismissing these claims as crazy.
Right.
Crazy, the idea of fake news and his company's social network played a key role in the election. It's just crazy. And then Obama said, it's kind of true. And so Zuck was like, man, it's crazy. So time passed. History has proven this out differently. He is now in... After saying it was crazy, after like kind of brushing off Obama, after like refusing to cooperate with the Senate Intelligence Committee, he's now turned over all the info over to Mueller and his team, only to find out that some of this stuff was paid for in rubles, among other things. And so the question for you, two questions: number one, was complicit in this whole thing, and did he, and you know, like they said in the old Nixon days, Watergate days, how much did he know, and when did he know it? Is there a cover up, Akili Shine?
I don't think it's a cover up to the degree that you're framing it. I don't think he was complicit. I don't think Mark Zuckerberg is a spy.
He was like, rubles, money's money, son.
The amount of money was minimal. I mean, you got to think they're making billions of dollars a quarter. Like,
sure.
They spent like $100,000.
That's true.
But however, the fact that Obama did kind of like pull him aside, whisper in his ear, like, hey, bro, like, you got some stuff that's happening. You might want to take a look. And he didn't, like you said, give it any mind. Like, I think that is crucial. I mean, especially now, it's kind of blowing up in his face. And I mean, in a way, it is depreciating his brand in terms of how the public see it. So I think that, I mean, it all comes back full circle, and it makes Obama look even doper. It's like, yo, I tried to tell you motherfuckers, but hey,
I have mixed feelings about the Obama thing because, I mean, Hillary's promoting her book now, so she's done a one-on-one interview with just about everybody, under the sun, and it's been good. But one of the things that keeps coming up is just, again, how much did Obama know? When did he know it? And his choice to not go public with this, also Mitch McConnell threatened to say that they would make this a partisan issue if he did go, so you really could blame Mitch McConnell. Thanks, Mitch McConnell, who also knew about this shit. But I feel like Obama was a little bit complicit, but he admittedly thought Hillary was going to win. If Hillary was already going to win, then what good does it do to muddy the waters, all this mess? We can deal with it after the fact, after she wins. But, it was a big gamble. The question I have for you on this, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but the question I have for you is, Zuck's dismissal of the idea and then further dismissal of President Obama information, high-level information, does this speak to the hubris of Zuckerberg and just or maybe just the Silicon Valley CEOs in general. I mean, they all have this sort of God complex. The fact that the president of the United States will roll up on you and be like, yeah, your company's like, don't tell me about my company.
Of course.
I'm the Zuck.
Of course. I mean, this new money, baby, in the last 10, 15 years, they built, you know, a massive amount of wealth. And so it's like they have a chip on their shoulder. Like, you old politicians in D.C., what are you talking about? Like, hey, we're over here doing our thing. Leave us alone. Of course there's a degree of that. Like, and I think that, you know, the more that we see, you know, the synergy of how politics, culture, technology merges, like these things will be more happenstance, I feel. And I think the precautions and implementation of things to prevent these things will be, more investment will be put into that. So I think that it's a wake up call to all Silicon Valley and technology companies. Like, we've covered for this whole year about cleaning house in terms of like diversity in ranks. We're talking about how women are treated.
Yep.
We're talking about all these different type of things. So it does kind of speak to the culture of these tech companies. And so, hey, maybe it's a wake up call. Like, hey, you're not invincible.
Yep.
I agree with that analysis. So
okay, yeah, I do too. I mean, you know, Zuck's been in the gym. He's a little swole up. He's a little chest all puffed out. He's feeling himself. Got a few B's a month. Like, he's like, Obama who?
Right.
Anyway. All right. Moving on.
Last point. Like Apple, Facebook, they're worth more than the country.
Yeah,
like,
they're worth more than the government.
Exactly.
Like, so they are. Well, they're not in the trillions, but still. And most, they're making more money in revenues for sure than most countries.
Right.
You know, except for like Russia and China, and, right, you know, the big ones.
Exactly.
So,
that says a lot.
It says a lot.
Like, who are you going to talk to? Who are you going to tell me how to run my business?
Like, I could, you know, run Bulgaria. Right. I like, you know. So, yeah, I mean, they it's true. So, I understand. Speaking of large companies, you know, London's Transport Authority announced on Friday that they're not going to renew Uber's license in the whole city. Reason being, they said the company is not, this is so British, fit and proper to operate in the city. This is on the heels of all the controversy at Uber, and it's really sort of just saying, look, that company is foul. Their business practices are foul, and in the city of London, in London town, we are not gonna, we're not gonna stand for it. So, it's a bit of a shock and a bit of a blow to the London. But boy, Sadiq Khan, you know, the Muslim mayor of London, said, hell no.
Hey, man, I mean, it does speak a lot. Like, we just kind of, like, hinted at it the last topic, just how, you know, a few strategic mistakes could really jeopardize the awareness and the positioning that your company has. I mean, but I think this issue is I think it's kind of extreme, their position. I think there's like a middle ground they could take. I mean, because Uber does employ 40,000 drivers in London. Like, 3+ million people use the service. Like, it does help with transportation. Like, it provides the accommodations that people are looking for to get them from point A to point B. So I think there can be some type of, maybe, like I said, middle ground to get Uber up to the standards that the city wants, versus just saying, no, you can't come into the city. Like, that just seems like a very hard stance to take.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering how, I mean, obviously Uber is going to push back, and it's going to be all in the courts, and how that's going to unfold, we'll see. But yeah, what do you think?
Well, it's interesting. So there's a lot of things really happening here. First of all, and the CEO pushed back and sort of said, look, there's 40,000 Uber drivers and 3.5 million Uber users in London that depend on this app. So think about this. You have 40,000 people out of work.
Right.
You have 3.5 million people who are depending on this to use this on a regular basis. You know, to cut that out.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, those people have to go other places, but, you know, maybe not the drivers. But this is really more about, the way London does crime, the way London polices in general. London's a CCTV city. I mean, the whole city is wired. Every nook and cranny of the city, you can't do anything without being caught on CCTV. And one of the things they wanted to do is basically allow law enforcement officers to monitor the Uber software to help them, you know, to be able to track crime, because the way they police, since they don't have any guns or anything like that, they don't, you know, they're not running around shooting folks in London. Mm-hmm. They just do good old fashioned CCTV policing, mm-hmm. and they bring the SWAT team in if something's going down. Other than that, you got a taser, you got a billy club, you got some moves.
Exactly.
So So they rely heavily on the CCTV and the ability to be able to shut stuff down. And right. and Uber's kind of like, nah, we're not really going to do that because that's not how we do business. And London said, well, you guys are already shady.
You're not doing no business.
No business.
Yeah.
So I get that. So we'll see. I mean, it looks like, you know, it feels like it was a bit of brinksmanship and Uber lost. You know, London did not blink. So we'll see if they come around.
I get the sensitivity. I mean, we're living in terrorist times.
Yeah.
Where, you know, stuff is popping off every other week. And so, I mean, I get it in the sense that, hey, a company this big where you need some stronger oversight. And so to be able to have, you know, law enforcement, you know, integration into the platform, I think that's reasonable.
Yeah.
And I think that there's going to be some bending on both. I bet you it's not the end of the story. Like, it's just not a hard no. I don't believe it could be that.
It's not a hard no. But then the other sub story here is that, like, the black cabs, which is London's kind of yellow cab, the black cab, mm-hmm. they've been vocal about Uber as all the cab companies have been around the world mm-hmm. from day one. And they've been really seriously, like, fighting Uber, and rumor has it that they have a huge hand in this. And
of course they do.
A lot of Uber users are saying, like, they don't want the black cabs. One guy's quote is, like, the black cabs run this city like a cartel. They can't do that. So it's definitely, there's two sides to every story. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But for right now, Uber's gone.
Nah, they still popping.
Well, on their way out. Yeah. all right, it's Facebook, Google, and Twitter. There's a proposed bill targeting shadowy political ads, basically on the heels of what happened with the election. Congress is trying to put a bill forward that basically specifically speaks to Facebook, Google, and Twitter.
Yep.
And there seems to be some pushback, but not a lot of pushback, but it seems like a good idea to me. I don't know.
I think it's a great idea. I mean, during the political campaign, typically when you see an ad on television, you see who it's sponsored by. You have oversight, right?
So right.
Why not have that with these platforms, with these social media platforms? I think that's great. I mean, that protects us as consumers and users to know exactly who's sponsoring this messaging, and also it gives transparency from the platforms. Like, hey, we're letting you guys see behind the curtain. Like, this is who paid for it. This is what's going on.
Right.
And I think that will help minimize a lot of this corruption that we're seeing, and especially around the topic of this hacked election with the Russians. So I like the fact that, you know, the FCC and other government agencies are kind of like pushing this forward. I think this is a great idea, to be honest.
Yeah,
better transparency.
You know? I agree. It speaks to, like, you know, since our administration top down is not doing anything to sort of say we're launching an investigation into what happened, because it sort of seems to be in their advantage. I'm glad that lawmakers and others are trying to push something forward to make sure somebody has to make sure this doesn't happen again. Exactly. We have another election coming up in like less than 18 months,
right?
And a large one coming up in another 2 years. So we'll see. Hopefully this helps out.
Yeah.
This is a story that came out. FCC. Speaking of FCC, is really, it's kind of a quiet thing that happened, but it may have some large implications. They're saying that telecommunications company like T-Mobile and others are actually competitive, and they're actually market competitive, which sort of opens the door and stops some of these like larger mergers from being happened, which helps maybe curb the idea of net neutrality, because you have companies like AT&T who are a giant telecom company, but also have a giant broadband company.
Exactly.
And I mean, that's a crazy kind of, like, you can't say I have all the cable and exactly. I have all the internet and we're just one company.
I have everything.
Like, that's not so. So what the FCC is saying is, like, these things are like competing now, because on your phone it's just the same as having it internet. The internet's the internet.
Yeah.
So if you can have all that stuff, that positions you to be a monopoly, which isn't good.
Right.
So this could be good. So I don't know.
I agree. I think it could be good, and I mean, we've discussed relentlessly on this show about net neutrality and fairness with, you know, our access to the internet and speeds and all that stuff. So yeah, as these companies consume and get larger and larger, and I mean, the fact that we want this type of competition to be able to prevent them from being a monopoly and dictating, you know, what we can and can't do.
Right.
So I like the fact that we have this opposing force, this friction between companies, this good race, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's a great thing.
Yeah.
So
I agree. It can only be a good thing, but like, it's just, again, I'm really afraid of, the only thing I'm afraid more of, that I just don't like these giant conglomerations, these giant mergers, because what happens is there's always someone bigger who's going to buy you. So
that's right.
All these companies start merging and merging and merging and merging. It just paves the way for Bezos to be like, I'll buy it all. Yeah, yeah. I'll buy AT&T, the gas company, AT&T. They're all one company, whatever. Like, exactly. It's going to be car dealership. It's all one company. So it helps. It's good that they're able to distinguish that these things are different or competitive so no one can come and just gobble them all up.
Exactly.
Because at some point, the way things are going, I've been saying this for a long time, it's just going to be in like 5 years from now, it'll just be Google, Apple, and Facebook, like, who own everything. Right. They'll own everything.
Seriously.
And it'll just be like, okay, so it'll be like the three networks, like ABC, CBS, and they'll own the power company and the shipping companies.
No,
and
I believe it.
The mailboxes and your internet. And
I believe it.
Your content. It'll all be down to three things.
I would say probably three or four things. I would include Jay-Z in there too.
See, Apple, Google, Amazon.
I mean Jay-Z.
And Jay-Z. That makes sense. Well, I don't want to bet against Jay-Z because I hear he doesn't lose. dumb joke. In the hurricane recovery efforts, which are immense. I mean, we're still not nearly done with the damage that happened from Harvey, and we're really really dealing with the damage done in Puerto Rico, which is just
it's
a full blown humanitarian crisis.
Absolutely.
We have over a million people without power, still
running water,
without running water,
food access
of food, on top of the fact like a third or more of these people have lost everything, lost their homes.
Exactly.
So it's not like they're in the house with no power, no food. They're like, complete, they don't got a house.
Complete decimation, man.
So that's unimaginable. I can imagine being in an area that is, I don't know how many square miles.
Yeah, an island. Like, you're locked
island
in. You can't escape it.
That's just without power.
Exactly.
The whole island.
For over a week.
Yeah, that's
huge.
That's on some. Who knows? I mean, just think about what was going on in damn Superdome in Louisiana.
Right.
After like a week.
Right.
Like, what's going on when the whole island's out?
Right.
We just have so much things that are unreported that we'll hear about over the years. That's like just really scary.
Yeah, 100%. But not just that. Like, not just Puerto Rico. It's other islands that, I mean, obviously Puerto Rico and the United States, but there's other islands that are not getting any coverage that have the same infrastructure problem.
Yeah.
That to me is concerning. We don't even know what's happening with those folks.
I mean, who knows?
But anyway.
But some folks are using some technology solutions. Like, people are bringing in drones to help with hurricane relief. We've talked for months and months and months about Amazon delivering stuff via drones. And
yep.
Other folks using drones to deliver. Well, drones are helping with hurricane relief efforts, bringing in supplies.
That's right.
and bringing in critical tools for rescue teams. I think this is fantastic.
That's awesome.
I don't know. You know, if this is just sort of a feel-good story or how actually, how many drones are actually really actively doing stuff and helping?
No, I think it's an incredible story.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we've had such a large discussion about whether or not how drones will be regulated and like, how we can't have drones in our sky and, like, this is not a good thing for us. But this is a perfect example of how we can utilize this technology for a number of things. Yeah, search and rescue, like, mapping to see what terrains are looking like, see what power lines are down. Like you said, dropping off supplies and materials. Like, the usage that you can be able to siphon off the drone technology is large. And so the fact that these drones are being able to do what they're able to do stuff in a more rapid pace than maybe a person in a helicopter can do or in a truck can do. Like, that's great because it's helping to provide a quicker solution to some of the problematic things that happen because of the hurricane.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. I mean, I think it's great. And you brought up great points about the mapping and other things. Like, in my dumb head, it's like they're just dropping off bandages and food, but actually it's a way more. We're way past that enough from a high tech standpoint with what drones can do and capture and, and record. So that's good stuff. I don't know how I feel about this, but people have been wondering about this for a while, like, why hasn't this happened sooner? But it looks like Twitter's talking about expanding
280, baby!
Expanding their cover, expanding their characters from 140 to 280. I mean, thanks Twitter. I mean, I don't know what to say of this. I mean, it's fine. Twitter, although I use it and I like it, I read it, and obviously our president uses it, and things happen, and, it's Twitter. But What do you think? What do you think of this? Is this a good thing, bad thing? It's Twitter. I mean, I still think Twitter is just antiquated and still on its way out, but I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think it's antiquated. I definitely don't think it's on its way out. Everybody uses Twitter.
Yep.
Whether or not it's a revenue driver, that's really yet to be proven, like the other guys.
Right.
But people love Twitter. And so the fact they're making the argument, they're saying, hey, based on our analytics, we can tell that, you know, other languages like Japanese, when they use 140 characters, they are able to express way more because in that one character, they're able to say way more. So why not expand it to 280 and the usage on our platform will increase? So, hey, because you might feel limited with the 140 and that might prevent you from tweeting. Now I'll bump you to 280. Now you might do it more. So that helps to bring more attraction to our platform. That can help bring more revenue to our platform.
Definitely will help with Twitter rants.
So I love it.
Because we're good. I'm glad. With the Twitter rants, we see the tweet storms. I mean, Rob Kardashian would have been able to get all of his.
He would have been able
in at least 4 tweets instead of 8 or 10, whatever he did. And this is obviously for Donald too. This could be good. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see how this whole thing goes, but I think it's good. I just don't know where it ends from there. I don't know the advantage of keeping it 140.
Based on their analytics, based on their traction of how people use the platform. I love the fact that they supersized it. I mean, why not? Like we're super accustomed to how Twitter works. So it's like, okay, cool. Like you're giving me more power, giving me more resources to be able to express what I want to express.
Right.
I think that's a win for everybody.
I do too.
No one's going to be like, damn, I want it to be 70 characters or whatever.
That's true. That's
expansion, true. Baby.
This is a story about Oculus Rift. Facebook said they're going to give you refunds for any apps you don't like. If you pay that giant price tag of $4.99, what is it? $3.99?
Ridiculous.
What they're saying is, hey, check it out. If you don't like it, you can return apps for free, which seems to make sense. I don't know. Do you think is this going to make you run out and grab one?
Absolutely not. I mean, they have to do something. Because I feel like, VR should have been way more explosive than what maybe I feel it is.
Yep.
I don't know the actual numbers in terms of what it's generating. Like I know what it's generating for on more of the commercial side, business side, but in terms of the individual user, I have the Oculus at the house, Joe, come through. I don't know anybody that has it.
No, do I.
Exactly.
PlayStation joint, yes. The Oculus is not anyone's not in a consumer.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So they have to be competitive with the PlayStation and HTC and those, and then even the Google Cardboard. So I feel like them incentivizing it this way. It's whatever.
But Facebook hasn't really rolled out. Well, maybe we'll see it for Christmas. But we haven't seen a media rollout. They have not spent any ad dollars. I don't know if Facebook doesn't do any ad buys in general because they're Facebook. But, I mean, how is the average person supposed to know? I don't see any commercials for Oculus Rift. I don't see any,
Do you see any commercials for any VR headset, though?
Yeah, the PlayStation.
Do you see it a lot?
Not a lot, okay. But it's out there. I know that exists. I mean, PlayStation is advertising it as part of the PlayStation 4 and what's possible and capable. It's in all their ad campaigns.
You've seen a commercial or you've seen print?
So
I've never seen a commercial about VR.
I feel
like that's just VR.
I haven't seen a commercial about VR, but I've seen a PlayStation commercial talking about all the things they can do and showing someone with the helmet.
Okay.
And then showing the whole setup with the thing there.
Right.
Now, it's difficult to, I guess it's probably difficult to be able to say what happens in a commercial. You can't show on the screen what you're seeing because it's and it's hard. That's a weird thing with that. Yeah, how do you visualize that? I mean, you're a visual storyteller. How do you visualize that?
How do you sell it?
Because you see someone with a mask floating around. That's supposed to make me go do it?
No, I mean, they can just give you a screenshot of what you
would see. What's in-game?
Exactly.
But you're just watching a flat screen. How does that?
It's not immersive, you're right.
Yeah, so I'm looking at a flat screen like that. That just looks like some two-dimensional figures.
Right.
Like block figures. It doesn't give you the experience. Showing a guy in a goggle, doing this.
It looks stupid. Yeah,
so that's... It's interesting. Maybe that's why we haven't seen it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, because how do you?
Maybe they haven't figured out a way to sell it.
Yeah, because how do you do that? Right. I see the still with the virtual reality headset, but it's not really. Interesting. Amazon is now relisting Apple TV after refusing to sell it for the last 2 years.
Let's go, Amazon.
I think that's great. This is clearly some sort of quid pro quo deal from Apple and Amazon, considering Apple is finally, after years of not listing,
beat them up, Jeff.
Prime. Well, Prime was never on Apple TV. Now you can get Prime on Apple TV.
That's right.
So now, in return, so it looks like Amazon's going to sell the Apple TV on Amazon.
Get all the money. Get all the money, Jeff. All the money.
I just want to ask you, who's a bigger winner on this one?
Jeff.
Jeff, because he's making cash money.
He got the Fire Stick, baby. It's killing it. he's got Prime on the Apple TV now, and all he's right. making some money by being in his stores. Let's eat, baby.
It's true. I don't know. I don't know if the Fire Stick is killing it, but...
Hey, it's selling.
Maybe it's killing it. I don't know. But you're right. Because I mean, Apple really need to have Prime. I'm very happy that Prime is on Apple TV now. That makes me very happy.
Now you don't have to have four freaking devices.
Yeah.
I got my Fire Stick from a Prime. I got my Apple TV for this.
Xbox.
Got the Sling TV.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. It's
all ridiculous. Apple TV. I think now everything I need is on Apple TV, which is very... That makes me feel very good.
For sure.
Which makes my Xbox feel useless.
Oh, it's definitely useless. It's archaic now.
In terms of as of, you know, as a
streaming
anything device? Other yeah. than just a
play video games?
Yeah, video game player. And not to mention, I didn't check this out, but it looks like I never even peeped out the new Xbox One. I don't see a Kinect on that joint. Did they just abandon the whole Kinect technology?
I don't think they're developing it further. It's like, why?
I know. Is that technology antiquated? I pulled out my old Xbox One to play it, and I pull out the old Kinect. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? I sit it up here, and then like...
Man.
I mean, what do I even use it for?
Exactly.
I mean, it recognizes me, and I can wave to it and stuff, but like, there's no gameplay. The games are failing. And you can look at Kinect technology versus VR technology.
Nowhere comparable.
No one's going to want to be, you know, so... I'll
tell you
Kinect
this,
though. Kinect is dead. Very quietly.
Not really. I mean, shit, it came out, what, almost 5-6 years ago?
Yeah, so you said it ran
half a decade, yeah. But I will say, like, Fire Stick 4K came out maybe, what, a year or two ago?
Yeah.
Well, now, okay, Apple TV 4K just barely coming out. Okay, and you can't really buy it from Apple stores. You can only get it from, you know, Amazon right now.
Right.
Like, what does that say to you about Apple? Like, is that a strategy for them, or is that just... Is there a demand for the product? Do you think it's a hot product that people want? Like, why can't I get it at the Apple Store? Why can't I only get it out of Amazon?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah. I don't know. I'll leave that as a rhetorical question that I don't want to answer. But I don't know, man.
Hey, man.
Well, speaking of which,
go Jeff.
Amazon held a surprise hardware event today, we were wondering what it was, and then the news is out. The surprise event happened while we were on air, just before we came to air. They got a new Echo. It's smaller, costs $99. They got the Echo Plus for $149. They got the Echo alarm clock joint, which is like a little like alarm clock that goes right by the side. It looks fresh. You can speak to it. It's got this. I actually like the look and feel of this. The Echo alarm clock is looking kind of fresh. You know, and then they also got the smaller, even smaller Fire TV for $79, and it's 4K and HDR support. Whereas Apple got bigger for their 4K joint and charging more money.
Right. Like I told you, man.
Fire got smaller and charged less money.
Team Jeff, bro.
What's that about?
Team Jeff, bro.
Man, come on, Apple. and I like the approach. There's something cool about the sort of the anti-keynote, the idea that Apple has the ball, the big messy, loud rollout, and Apple just kind of slides it in.
It's plastic, man. We're over that.
Yeah,
it's not glamorous anymore. I don't care about that.
What, 4K thing? All right, here's one for $79. What else?
Yeah.
Like, 4K, big deal, Apple.
Right. We've been doing this for 2 years, Apple.
It sounds like someone I know, like my co-host over here. Like,
thank you.
Who's over there at Amazon being the director of...
Team Jeff, bro.
Hey, man.
Team Jeff.
I'm not mad at Jeff at all. Well, speaking of Jeff, Star Trek Discovery, not speaking of Jeff, but Jeff is a Star Trek fan. Star Trek Discovery is premiered, and it did about almost 10 million viewers on CBS, and then the part two aired on All Access. No one really knows the numbers on All Access, and no one ever will know the numbers on All Access, but it did pretty well. It did pretty good, you know. I mean, it didn't do, you know, gangbusters of This Is Us 12 million numbers, but not, you know, 10 million is respectable.
Yeah, it's definitely
and,
respectable.
It's actually, that's actually good. And also, and Young Sheldon premiered to like 14 or 16, 16 million, no, 17 million. Young Sheldon, 17 million. So CBS is just killing the game. Anyway, this story is not about that. The story is about how CBS is, wondering how CBS can change the game here in the streaming world. Because
stop it. We should stop for one note. We should stop saying change the game.
CBS retire
that. Whoever wrote that?
Can CBS change the streaming game with Star Trek Discovery?
The appropriation of that, we were saying that line like 10, 15 years ago.
Yes.
But okay.
That's true.
Change the game?
Yeah. Well, I mean, come on.
Anyway, I'm
sorry. Non-stop appropriation.
Anyway.
Yeah. Whatever is being said now.
Can CBS change the game?
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's been happening since I don't
anywho,
know.
Anywho, I'm sorry.
So true. But the question is that, you know, most of the streaming services, namely Amazon and Netflix, thank you, are known for just dropping all the episodes at once. They drop them. And now, with especially with the how prolific Netflix is, there seems to be an oversaturation of content because they're just dropping seasons on seasons.
Yep.
I'm on top for the seasons, son. I never thought I'd be saying that. But so, Hulu did a little strategy. They dropped, you know, a couple at a time. People say it may help with the water cooler buzz of Handmaid's Tale, which won the first streaming Emmy.
Exactly.
CBS is like, we're just going traditional. We're dropping one a week. Cool. One a week.
And what I tell them is good luck, guys. Good luck.
What do you think?
Well, I mean,
it's not a CTG-er. It's not a change the game.
You gotta retire that right away. Right away. I mean, let's look at the numbers, man. So they have
CBS, more like CTG.
Stop it. I can't. I'm gonna walk, bro. I'm gonna walk. Let's look at the numbers. So CBS has 2 million subscribers. They're looking to have 4 million by 2020. So in 3 years, they double it. Okay, it's $6, right?
Yep.
And so what the offering I get is
9 for commercial free.
Okay. I get the legacy content. I get some original programming that I can't get anywhere else now. Let's do the math. So if I already have Netflix, if I already have Hulu, if I already have Amazon, I've already spent about what? How much?
Right.
A cool $30 already. So am I going to really add on $6 just to watch Star Trek or whatever 3 other shows that they have? Hell no. As a older millennial, no.
Not yet.
No.
Not yet. But yeah, but I will say, I'm not mad at CBS for this play because the more I think about it, the more research I do, it is just this over the top, this OTT, even with their 2 million subscribers, I mean, it left, like I said, 50 million less than Netflix.
Yeah.
But they're trying to catch up. But it's CBS. It's an all cash business for them. First of all these suckers who subscribe to All Access, like me, paying that $6 a month and still watching commercials. It's a sucker move for CBS. It's just cash. They're still selling new commercials. They're still selling all those ad rates, and they're getting extra. You pay for junk, and they still live on the most profitable giant network in television history at CBS. They're laughing. This is just more. It's a cash extraction.
Hey, but if it's not sustainable.
Grows, it's all gravy.
It's not sustainable with this current business model.
Right.
The fact that they're still doing a traditional way of delivering the content to you, then you have to pay an additional $6 for what? You're not going to give me violence, sex, and cursing. Like, for what? Like, why am I paying that? You might slip it in, but it's not going to be heavy.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. I'd rather stick with HBO. I'd rather stick with the other ones that I'm already paying for.
Look, as we've said, not we've said, but everyone said for years and years and years, content is king. So really, if CBS just puts out, you know, spin-off versions of their existing shows, like The Good Wife and even Star Trek, and if they sort of take their existing properties and develop these ancillary things, like, maybe not, but this could be an opportunity for them to do something, some real out-there shit.
What was the percentage? They would be 4% of viewership the CBS All Access. Yeah. Once it gets to 4 million, it'll only be 4%. Who cares? Yeah. Okay, yeah, they'll make 300 million plus, but like in the grand scheme of the titans that are really killing the streaming game, they're nowhere near it. They won't be anywhere near it. They're too late. That's how I see it.
It's really interesting to see. I don't know how that math works, because like so by those numbers you're talking about, the 2 million subscribers,
times 12.
Yeah.
That's about 150 million a year.
Great. And it's Discovery alone. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're operating a deficit. Like, okay. Even though they're still making cash off everyone, it's operating a deficit. Just producing Discovery and The Good Fight, those are expensive shows.
Uh-huh.
So they're operating a deficit. So they're in a hole already. But I don't know. I mean, they have a plan.
They have money to burn. I will say Star Trek was great. Yep. We've already talked about this offline. Yep. And I think for those who haven't seen it, I think you should see it. But I don't know if that's going to make me want to subscribe.
Right.
I don't think I'll be like, Joe, we got to sign up, bro.
Yeah, I can't do it. I know. So unfortunately, one of us already subscribed. So hey. I'll slide you that password.
Hey, please.
You can get them episodes of The Jeffersons. Mod, all in the family.
I can't wait.
Murder, She Wrote. Right. Some Murder, She Wrote in your life. I got you.
Cannot wait.
Call of Duty is about to drop the beta drop. The real game, I think, is coming out in November. I don't know what's going on with this Call of Duty, but it looks amazing.
It always does.
It looks even better than it's ever looked. I've ever seen it look. It looks ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, they're going full circle. Call of Duty started with World War II joints, and then they went all the way to the future to where it's like ridiculous now. This last Call of Duty was kind of goofy in space and stuff, but they just circled all the way back to World War II. I wonder if this is just they'll just keep cycling us around as technology gets bigger until we're running around in VR headsets, but. You know, I wonder if they'll go back to, you know, keep doing this again, like in World War II, then Pacific, then Vietnam, then I want to do the same thing over and over again, but we'll see. But it looks amazing, and that's all I can say.
Yeah. Classic franchise, man.
Yep. last but not least, Xbox is coming out with a Paul Walker Xbox skin. So take that, PlayStation! Take that, VR! I mean, this is cool, but they got, you know, I mean, they got to do a little more. I'm not mad at it, but I would reveal sell.
I mean, I think people that are super fans would definitely want to grab it for right. sure.
Okay.
I mean, you got to think like the Nintendo situation. The two offerings that they dropped, they're sold out like instantly. So of course, someone's going to grab that.
Right. They surprised Vin Diesel and Tyrese and him with a Xbox gift. All right, good for them. That's all I got. Anything else? Anything else?
Nah, man. We living over here, baby. But nah, it's good, man.
Okay,
it's good, man.
I got absolutely nothing else. All right. Well, I guess I don't know. Where can the people find you? That's all I got.
They can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Akili Shine, AKILISHINE. Where can the folks find you?
You can find me at Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell. We'll see you next week for more Geek Nerd Tech. Thanks. Bye.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook. Tweet us or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagram me, at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in. The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.